Hey, good day, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Total Wellness Radio, episode 174 with Dr. Stephen Hesse. Dr. Stephen is a chiropractor and functional medicine practitioner. He also is a health coach with his primary focus on heart health and type 1 diabetes. He recently released a book called The Health Evolution, Why Understanding Evolution is the Key to Vibrant Health. So please sit back and enjoy this episode, episode 174 of Total Wellness Radio. Good day, everybody, and thank you so much for making us a part of your day. This is episode 174 on Total Wellness Radio, and today I am super fortunate and very excited to be interviewing Dr. Stephen Hesse from Roanoke, Virginia. Dr. Stephen, you on the line okay?
Yep, I'm here.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on Total Wellness Radio today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited about interviewing you. I've had a chance to review Dr. Hesse's book, The Health Evolution, Why Understanding Evolution is the Key to Vibrant Health. As I mentioned to him earlier, all truthfully, I'm on page 147. It's almost 300 pages, and so I will complete it, I promise. But I'll tell you something. Just halfway through this book, I have been exposed to a lot of confirmation, a lot of truth, a lot of, it's obvious there's a tremendous amount of experience here in helping sick people get well. And so, you know, before we dive into and really, you know, go into in depth on the book, I always like to ask my guests an opening question, because I find there's always a story here. And that is, for you, Dr. Hesse, what was the catalyst or the event in your life that placed you on a path in natural health?
Yeah, so I guess from a very young age, my parents, say around 2 years old, they noticed that I was having trouble breathing, and I eventually was diagnosed with asthma. And then from there, through my childhood, I was diagnosed with a lot of other inflammatory conditions, irritable bowel syndrome. I used to break out in hives, had terrible allergies, and ultimately ended up with the autoimmune disease, type 1 diabetes. And so that kind of threw me headfirst into the Western medical system, which is the only thing my parents knew to do as far as how to manage my conditions and symptoms. And so, you know, that was fine as far as management goes. But as I grew up, especially in college, when I started getting an interest in health, I realized that what my doctors had been telling me all this time was, again, good at managing these things and keeping them from, you know, seriously affecting my life. But they were not telling me why they happened or what I could do about them to really make them go away.
Okay.
And so I started exploring a lot of different things and, went and got a medical education. And even that fell a little bit short of explaining why these things happened. And so I've always been a very curious person. And I dove in and found what I think is the reason why these things happened to me.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting that you're touching on this, because one of the very first quotes that I found compelled to highlight from your book is on page 15, is chapter 2, and it says, "It is more important to know what kind of person has the disease than what disease the person has." That's a quote you put in your book from William Osler. And you're touching on that. I mean, you modern medicine is amazing when it comes to the emergency field, but when it comes to the ability to actually position the person to understand what in their environment or diet or lifestyle contributed to creating the problem, they seem to have little to no interest in going down that path.
That's very true. Yeah. So, I mean, you touched on there in different environments. I don't think anybody's environments are the same. No two people's environments are the same. Mm-hmm. And so if we try and treat each condition like that cookie cutter approach, and have the same treatment for everybody who has asthma or everybody who has cancer or whatever, then we're likely not going to get the same result with each person, because everybody's different. Everybody's been exposed to and had a different childhood and exposed to different toxins and all kinds of different environments. So we have to assess their personal environment that they've been in their whole life, and that will guide us toward what we need to do with this person.
Yeah. So is this one of the things that kind of feeds into what you find to be the most exciting aspect about your career in helping others?
Yeah, I'm a little investigator. You know, I'm really trying to figure out what it is that's happened in someone's life that is causing their illness. Because very, very few times is it like purely genetic, where someone just comes down with something because of their genetics. Mm-hmm. It's always environmentally triggered.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I don't get that information from the person until, you know, 4 or 5 months down the road when they finally tell me.
Yep.
They're comfortable telling me finally, or, yeah, and I've thought about it before and it just kind of came to the head, oh yeah, this happened. And so it's really about staying persistent and really finding out what it is that triggered this their symptoms or their condition.
Yeah, the Genome Project was very beneficial to us 15, 16 years ago, coming up on that now, when they not only did they discover the, you know, the genetic code and the cellular at the cellular level, but they, through studying identical twins, could determine that diet, lifestyle, and stress made up about 70% roughly of their overall health concerns or conditions in their lifetime, and that it was the genetic influence was about a 30% involvement, but had to be triggered by what you're touching on, which is the diet, lifestyle, and environment, that type of thing.
Right, yeah, and I think with genetics, I guess society has kind of been programmed into thinking that you have these genetics and there's nothing you can do about it, or that there's, you know, a gene for heart disease or a gene for an autoimmune disease.
Right.
And no matter what you do, you'll come down with it, but that's just not true.
No.
You influence our health a little bit, but they're more like small, you know, genetic polymorphisms that people can have that will influence, you know, their metabolism or their ability to detox or things like that. But there are no, you know, so-called genes that program you or predispose you to a certain condition. It's,
yeah,
all about how genes are interacting with the environment. Now with the study of epigenetics, we know we can influence our genes based on the environment we put them in.
Yes, 100%. In fact, that leads me to the next quote, believe it or not. And this is, for you listeners, this is completely unplanned, but what Dr. Hussey and I are talking on, he's hitting on again on page 75 of his book, Humans in the Fast Lane. It says, only recently have we come up with the technology to turn lazying around into a way of life. We've taken our sinewy, durable, hunter-gatherer bodies and plunked them down into an artificial world of leisure. Christopher McDougall. And what a great, it's so true. I mean, it's absolutely mind-bending to me. And that's really the, you know, that you and I as practitioners, I think, at least for me, and I'm going to have you answer this for yourself, but one of the biggest challenges we face is to expose people to the simplistic truth behind why they feel the way they feel, allergies, asthma, heart disease, you know, autoimmune problems. And when we expose them to these simple truths, it seems at times that people's mind have a hard time grasping that it could it really be that simple. If I really change my diet, lifestyle, and stress, you mean I can really have a 70 or 80% impact in turning around my illness regardless of how the body's manifesting it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that my big goal with writing this book was to create understanding. I think that, you know, someone could come to me, whether it's a client I work with online or in my office, and I can tell them what to do. You know, I can say, do this, mm-hmm. you know, take this way, reduce your stress this way, do this kind of stuff. But I've found that I'm much more successful with these people when they understand why they're having to do these things.
Yep.
Because otherwise they just think, oh, I'm being restricted or I'm limited in what I can do or I can't be normal.
Yeah.
If they have understanding,
sure.
They realize that what they think is normal is just not ever going to create health no matter who you are. So that all of a sudden they're not jealous of their friends who are still eating whatever they want or whatever it may be.
Sure.
Or don't have the issues that they have, even though they're in similar environments. And so I really want people to understand, and the understanding that I finally came to, or that gave me the most understanding, was understanding evolution and applying that to humans and our health epidemic. That's what really, you know, gave me, I guess, peace of mind as to why this happened to me and then what I could do about it as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other challenges do you think you face, you know, Dr. Hussey, in regards to your career? What are some of the things? Because what you're touching on for me is really 80% of it. It's helping people really see that they contributed to, that they actually created the problem, and we have to reverse engineer that and get them on a different path, and they need to understand that, or they won't stay with it long enough You know, getting people dedicated to saving their own lives, you know, sometimes is a real challenge.
Yeah, I think that that is the biggest challenge for me as far as what I do for a living. Is it's because I, in my head, I'm you know, so confident in my recommendations, and I know that if this person makes these changes, that they're going to get a better health outcome. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people aren't there, you know, and that's hard for me when I'm, you know, trying really hard to show them what they can do and show them how they can get better, and maybe they don't want to do it, or they're not ready to make that change yet. Mm-hmm. And so I guess earlier on in my career, I had to realize that I was seeing people who didn't want to make these changes as having a problem, but I really needed to see it as, you know, they're not the one with the problem right now. I am. I have a problem with the way they're living their life, and that it only becomes their problem when they acknowledge that they can have an impact on their health, and they can change the health they're having. And so I have to, I guess it's hard for me to, you know, to kind of shift over and focus on someone who is really ready to make those changes and focus on them, and then wait for those other people to come around when they're ready, you know, when their health has affected them that negatively that they have no other option.
Page 97 from your book says, humans require food and water to survive. To thrive, they need a little more than that, like emotional connection, light contact with nature, etc. Humans lived for thousands of years before civilization required money for survival. Now we've created a society so dependent on that one thing that if we don't have enough, we find ourselves in a dire situation. Civilization is our attempt to control our environments in order to make our lives easier and less susceptible to the relentlessness of nature's selection. In doing this, we've created many symptoms of civilization, homeless populations being one of them. So what, I mean, I want to make sure I really understand some of the bedrock concepts that you're outlining in this book, and that is that we have created any illness that you can think of, whether it's the 160 plus autoimmune diseases that are out there, whether it's obesity, whether it's the mental illness issue that's going on now, civilization has directly contributed to the amplification of those ill patterns rather than to eradicate them.
Yes. So, and this is something that, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about, but when we start applying evolution to humans and our disease epidemic to humans, I think we're seeing two things. One, we're seeing that we've changed our natural environment very rapidly. Mm-hmm. And so we're not living the way that we used to. We did for millions and millions of years. And so we've only been living within civilizations for, you know, 10,000 years at the most. Mm-hmm. Farming and having civilizations. So when any time a species environment changes that quickly without enough time for enough generations to happen for it to adapt to that new environment, mm-hmm. then we're going to do health struggles. I mean, that's just how it is. When your physiology is not adapted to your environment, you can't really thrive. Mm-hmm. We see this all the time with animals in the zoo. They're just not living in their natural environment. They try and create their natural environment, but they just don't, and sometimes they fail to thrive.
Yeah.
The other thing, which is the unpopular one to talk about, is that in what I said there, we're kind of removing the relentlessness of natural selection, which natural selection is a pretty relentless thing. It's not going to allow those species that are ill suited to their environment to survive or pass on their genes. Mm-hmm. And so when we remove that and we made life easy for ourselves to survive, you know, someone with the poorest set of genes, like me, for example, I had a terrible reaction to the modern day environment that we have, and I had all these chronic illnesses. Mm-hmm. But we've created a life or a way of life that's that allows me to survive. You know, I have type 1 diabetes, but synthetic insulin keeps me alive. And so I could pass on those quote-unquote faulty genes,
right,
compared to this modern environment. So we're not allowing natural selection to create very hardy genes that are best for this new environment that modern humans are in. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're kind of diluting those genes by keeping people like me alive. And I'm not saying that we should let people like me die.
Sure.
Anybody with diseases, it's just that this is an explanation of why chronic diseases on the rise, one of them. The other is that our environment is changing too rapidly. So it's very interesting to me when I apply it like this. And to me, just understanding why it is sure. is enough. Even if I can't do anything about it or there's really no solution to it at this point, just understanding is good for me.
Yeah. You know, you're touching on some fascinating things. You know, I think that, and I like the way you brought that up, that, you know, it can be kind of tough topics to discuss, you know, evolution and creation, all this other stuff, yet you use the word create in your discussion of this process. And I think for me, what we're really talking about is the fact that there's a process that's taking place that people cannot keep up with. You know, Alexis Carroll, who won the Nobel Prize in Physiology back 1912, maybe something like that. It was his research that really led us to be able to modernize and the science behind successful organ transplants in this country. And it was his research and the work that really led up to that, right? Now, what he did was, one of the things he's known well for is that he kept the cardiac tissue of a chicken alive for up to 29 years. Now, the average lifespan of a chicken is 6 to 8 years, if they're lucky, and yet he documented that if you kept the environment, like we've touched on, if you kept the environment healthy, nutritious, and removed the waste, that tissue that typically is only viable, supposedly, 6 to 8 years could actually be viable for up to 3 to 4 times its normal lifespan. And so I thought that was a fascinating byproduct of the work that he was doing with transplants.
Well, yeah, it just goes to show that you know, just the way our tissue is created. I think we've been kind of studying humans within civilization.
Yes.
And given all of our baseline markers, you know, our lifespan, all our blood markers are based off of humans living out of their natural environment. Mm. So do we know what the within normal ranges of all our blood work is, what the real lifespan of a human is? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've increased lifespan because we've made life easier for us, but we've also changed the environment too much. So if we had this easy life and we had a good environment, like, what's the real lifespan of a human?
100%.
The lifespan of the chicken to 29 years or so, or chicken tissues, and that's amazing. I didn't know that, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. If you look him up, Alexis Carroll, he actually was working with the Rockefeller Institute. So he's got some pretty fascinating stuff. I think it was his Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine. I think that's where he got his Nobel Prize at. So it was pretty crazy.
Cool.
So who would you like to, in this interview, Dr. Huss, give some credit to for influencing you on this path, this journey that you're on?
Well, I think early on, it was after I had my medical education and went back and got a functional medicine degree, my master's in that, like, I was still looking for answers as to why. Like, I knew good ways to treat the things that people were having, but I was still looking for the answers to why. And it was when I got into, reading Darwin and really framing my ideas around his thoughts and his theory. But then also Richard Dawkins, and then also Jared Diamond, who's probably my favorite. Those three guys. But then I think that one who really puts it all together is a guy named Rene Dubos. There's plenty of quotes from him in my book, but he knew what was going on. He saw this way before many other people did, I think. And sadly, he died in 1982, and we still haven't really heeded his advice. He was a microbiologist, and so he was really good at understanding an ecosystem, because microbes make up huge ecosystems, whether it's in nature or on a human being, and so understood that humans are a part of an ecosystem, and when we remove ourselves from the ecosystem too much, we can have a negative influence on the ecosystem we left, but also we have a negative influence on our health because we're not in that natural ecosystem anymore.
So when you talk about with your clients, and whether it be over long distance or in your office, what is your primary focus? Is it with your clients? Do you have certain products, services, education? What is your flow of taking that person from that being in that ill health state to really getting on a path that's going to serve them for the future?
Yeah, so I've kind of got two different things. So like in my office, like I'm a chiropractor, so we're really focusing a lot on, you know, musculoskeletal like symptoms and treating the nervous system and things like that. So in there, I'm really focused on the function and looking at all the different reasons why someone could have pain. So as an example, I just shared on Instagram this morning about a patient, and then a study that I found is that this guy came in and he had a lot of restrictions in his joints, and he had a lot of imbalances in joint motion. So those are all very chiropractic things we need to look at, because those are affecting the nervous system in a negative way. But he was also on a statin drug, and it was having no effect on his cholesterol, which is not the cause of heart disease in the first place.
Sure.
It was also causing him muscle pain. And so, you know, I could probably adjust him to the cows come home, but if he doesn't get off that statin, he's probably going to keep having muscle pain. But his, you know, his doctors are just, you know, they're not going to do it because his cholesterol is high, even though it wasn't even having an effect on his cholesterol. And so, you know, we work with that patient. We ask them to reach out to the doctor or find a new doctor that's willing to, you know, take them off of that for a trial period and see what they can, what results they get. Because he never had this muscle pain until he started taking that. So I think it's just, as far as chiropractic goes, I get a lot of people dealing with pain. And to me, I have to investigate all the different reasons why they may have that pain. Because I think a lot of chiropractors get focused on the musculoskeletal, the joint motion, that kind of stuff, and thinking that if we just get that moving, the pain will go away, but it doesn't always work. So we got to look at their toxin exposure, their inflammatory diet, the medications they're on, all kinds of things, the stress they have.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as like online, I really focus on two different things. One is autoimmunity, because my own experience with that and how I've been able to pretty much mitigate all the damage I would have, aside from that collateral damage that is type 1 diabetes. But then also I focus on people with heart disease, helping them create high-performing hearts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different theories about heart disease, and it's, you know, not really caused by anything what we've been told.
Right.
So it's really about focusing on what characteristics of heart disease are a result of us being removed from our natural environment, and then within the confines of modern day society, bringing people closer to that environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to get them better. So a little bit different approach with it's online health coaching, but really focusing on autoimmunity and people with heart issues.
And for people that want to connect with you on that, they would want to go to resourceyourhealth.com. Is that correct?
Resourceyourhealth.com. You can contact me there.
Okay.
You know me. Steven at resourceyourhealth.com.
What are some of the other directions and goals you have for the future, Dr. Hussey? Because I know you're on a very focused, a very impactful path in educating people about this. What are some of your other goals?
Yeah, so I actually have a few things going on. I'm trying to grow the online health coaching a bit more so I can reach more people, because I can reach people more remotely there. I'm also just started doing continuing education for medical professionals, mainly chiropractors right now, about the heart and different ways that we can approach that. So I've got that up on continuing education websites, and hopefully by the end of the year, I'm going out to conferences and speaking about that. I am also developing some courses, some like online courses for people that they can take. One about, you know, understanding evolution, and one about the heart, and there'll probably be more to come. Because I'm trying to, you know, touch people's lives any way that I can. Some people like to read a book. Some people like to listen to podcasts. Some people like to do online courses. So I'm trying to get it out there any way I can. And then at some point, I have an idea for book number two, but that's kind of on the back burner while I get these other stuff going. But I'm really excited about what I want to write about in book number two. So we'll get that.
Good for you. Well, I've enjoyed thus far the book that you shared with me here. I've picked up some really good things out of it. I really appreciate it. Some of it, you know, it gives me a fresh or a different angle or perspective to look at this and help educate others. Others, it's, you know, there's also confirmation of things that we've known also to be true clinically for over 20 years here in our clinic. So it's always wonderful for me. It's like a breath of fresh air to cross paths with a kindred spirit on the path of helping people get well.
Yeah, no, we gotta all bind together and find our tribe and really push the message out there. So I'm glad there's people like you as well.
Hey, I want you to do us, all of our listeners, a really big favor as we get ready to wrap up our episode here. What's the number one thing that you want to make certain our listeners know?
I would say that if you're going to achieve health, you've got to commit. It definitely, I mean, society and the way, you know, the things that are convenient and, you know, it's just kind of stacked against us.
Yeah.
So you really got to do your homework, and you've got to commit to this this health. That you can't outsource this to medical providers. I mean, you can get guidance.
Yes.
From if you find a good one, but you really got to commit. And I think that part of your success is going to be surrounding yourself with people who support your commitment. I think that is super key. We are social beings, and if we get the wrong social cues, we end up in a stressed state and we fail to succeed. So surround yourself with those people who are going to support your commitment.
Yeah, I really appreciate the work you're doing. I love what it says on page 141, actually, of your book. It says, and I think this really kind of sums it up a little bit, at least, and that is that it says, "My passion is health, and I have spent many years of my life on a search to find what creates health in humans. However, I never expected to discover that the answer to restoring health in individual humans could also be the salvation of our species. If masses of people on Earth made changes in their own lifestyles, it would have a direct positive impact on their individual health and the health of their children, and we would see a reversal of many of the problems that we are facing on this planet." So, very wise words, very, very true. I mean, no truer words were ever spoken. I super appreciate the work that you're up to.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on.
So, for Dr. Stephen Hussey in Roanoke, Virginia, this is the conclusion of episode 174. Thank you again so much for tuning in to this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Have a great day. That will do it for Total Wellness Radio. Thank you once again for tuning in. And just to mention as a reminder, don't forget about our 6-day mentorship program for practitioners who really want to thrive in the natural wellness industry and build a long-lasting, sustainable, prosperous business. We do a 6-day hands-on immersion where for 4 days, you follow me and my staff around. We see well over 120 people in clinical practice. Plus, we spend day 5 in the classroom putting your practice all together on paper in the practice creation form. And finally, day 6, hands-on drilling with nutritional kinesiology, one of the most effective of ways to evaluate a client's needs that there is today. So for reaching out to us on that, just call me directly, 307-631-5300. The number 307-631-5300 for more information on our 6-day mentorship program. And thank you once again for tuning in to Total Wellness Radio.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.